to heaven. I let go and God lets me forget them.
Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. The song we're listening to is called Ghosts. It's by a band called Communist Daughter, and the songwriter is a man for whom the ghosts are many. Johnny Solomon had a promising career as a singer and a songwriter, and also a promising career in food, but both were derailed by mental illness and substance abuse. Solomon had moved to a small town in western Wisconsin from the Twin Cities to try to flee those ghosts, but they found him and put the brakes on his career. But he has made it out the other side with the support of his fellow band members, including his wife, Molly Moore. Johnny and Molly played several dates recently as a duo, including one in Milwaukee, and they stopped by the Lake Effect studio then and shared their story and their music.
Let me know when they get to heaven. I let go when God lets me forget them.
Well, first, Johnny and Molly, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And that was Ghosts, and as you say, off of your most recent EP, and it probably as good a place as any to start. There are a lot of ghosts in the back of this band's creation.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a skeletons in the closet. Well, they're all out of the closet now, but we went through some rough things. So, yeah, that's what the song is about, actually. So here we are on the other side.
Here we are.
But the other side is a good place to be. I mean, where do you feel about, if I understand, we're having this conversation as you're on your way to do some more recording, is that right?
We've actually pretty much finished all of our recording. We're actually going down to Nashville, going to play a showcase down there. But mostly we've done our record. It's nice to be on the next step now. The new record's going to be coming out soon. I can't tell you exactly when, but, you know.
Well, I'm hoping a little later in this interview you'll actually honor us with a track from the new record.
Yeah, we'll play a new song. Just don't tell our manager.
Well, so let's turn back the clock a little bit, if we can, and talk about the birth of this band. Johnny, what was happening when you moved to a small town? It was, Prescott, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I was in a rock band before this. And by rock band, I mean rock and roll lifestyle. And I ran into some trouble with just addiction problems and mental health. And that got me into some trouble with the law. So I decided I was going to quit music because the first thing I wanted to quit was everything but the drugs. So I just quit music and I moved to a small town and tried to start a life of a simple life, but that didn't work out for me so well.
You owned a restaurant, right?
I did. I started like this little shack kind of place, and then over the course of the next couple of years, it did pretty well before my own demons kind of took that one down. It was a good time for me to learn that I'm supposed to be a musician. When I was stressed, I would always go down in the basement and just play songs. And so I think that was a pretty good indication that I had to get back to it.
Well, and so then how did Communist Daughter come together, and where does Molly come in?
Well, I was still writing songs, and I wasn't really putting them out there, but somebody heard one of the songs I wrote and wanted to put it out. So I agreed to that, and it got on the radio right away. kind of before I had a band set up, and it was actually on the public radio station over in Minneapolis.
This is The Current?
Yeah, The Current. And they started rotating that song a lot. And so I needed to put a band together, and I started calling up guys from the Twin Cities that knew me, who I hadn't burned all the bridges with, and they came down to Prescott, and I actually met Molly through some people that I knew in Prescott, and asked her to come down and sing on some recordings, and the rest is history.
Molly, where were you at this point?
Yeah, I was doing a little traveling at that time, and I think I sang before I left, right? And then I don't
remember.
I think I sang a little bit before I left. I sang on a couple songs.
Yeah, Fortunate Son.
Yep. Yeah. And then I left the country. And when I came back, he asked me to be in the band. And I wasn't doing anything else, so I agreed.
Yeah, reluctantly agree.
I wasn't excited about performing live because I've never been very comfortable performing. But I'm getting used to it.
How do you get over that?
I don't know if you do. I don't know if I ever will. I mean, some days are better than others, and I feel a little bit more confident and remind myself how much I love doing what I'm doing. But yeah, I still struggle with that, just anxiety and stage fright. But it's getting better, I would say, most days. Yeah.
Johnny, you were talking about the bridges you'd burned in the business in the past,
yeah.
You know, other band members and other musicians you'd worked with who I assume had, you know, had enough of the ups and downs of Johnny Solomon.
Yeah. I found out later, I was just kind of getting into, you know, your 20s is when mental health stuff kind of comes out, and I'm bipolar, which I didn't know at the time, which I'm sure people around me could have told me that, but, I'm bipolar, and then I was self-medicating a lot with drugs and alcohol, and so there was a lot of drama that was going on, and the band I was in kind of burned out excitingly. So I don't know, you know, there's a lot of that goes along with drugs and alcohol and mental health that kind of hurts the ones around you. And so I think a lot of people just got tired of it, and rightfully so.
I would imagine it maybe gave you pause before saying, "Okay, I'm in."
Yes.
yeah, definitely.
It helped that the song "Not the Kid" was on the radio. I think that was helping to give. I had a good case to be in the band. And of course, I was saying, "Oh, baby, I'll get better. I'll, you know, we weren't dating at the time.
We were not dating at the time.
Yeah, but I was saying, oh, I'll get sober. I'll chill out," which I didn't at the time. But
well, and of course, you guys are married.
We are married.
We are married now. Yeah,
it'll be our 1 year anniversary on the 28th of this month.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, is it hard for you to listen to your husband talk about his past, this kind of really difficult time?
You know, every once in a while I shock myself by feeling, yeah, it's different. It's hard to go back there, I guess, sometimes. We're so far removed from that life now. It feels like it feels like it was a lifetime ago. And sometimes, you know, we do talk about it a lot because it's so much a part of who he is, talking about his past, and it's so much a part of the music. And so I think it's really healthy to talk about it. But yeah, every once in a while I'll surprise myself by getting a little emotional and I shut down. But yeah.
Well, before that happens here, we should hear another song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one, I gather, also calls on your past.
Yeah, this one's actually probably the most directly about. This is one of the last ones I wrote for the album that before I checked into treatment, and it's pretty obvious about where I was headed. It's called Speed of Sound. Thank you. So I'm looking for the only way out. And the life I wanted years ago is maybe not the life I should have found. And I still live for sound, but lately all the people seem to talk too loud. And my feet are on the ground, but all the words I say are coming out like clouds. And they all know my name, but I don't want the same, so I guess I better go.
Thank you so much. That was fantastic.
Thanks.
It's hard to listen to that song without, without A, feeling the emotion in it for you, and B, without thinking about, you know, one's own inner demons and you know, what it takes to take them on.
Yeah, you know, I was just telling somebody last night that I get a lot of people coming up to me at shows, you know, to tell me how important a lot of the songs are to them and how much they connect with them. And I always, you know, it's always, the songs are about some pretty rough things. And so when people tell me that they connect with them, I'm always like, I'm so sorry, you know, like, you know, I hope it gets better. But a lot of times, you know, I think that people, by going through it, it's kind of cathartic, hopefully.
You have to go through it to get through it.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to be on the other side.
And at the same time, it's interesting because here you are on the other side, and at the same time, the rock and roll world probably hasn't changed since you were 10 years younger.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't think it's changed that much, but I think there's a whole nother side to it that I didn't see. You know, I went to treatment when the record came out, and I was in treatment for a while, and that's no new story at all. And I met a lot of musicians that lately that are sober, and I think that you get to your, you know, 10 years on in the music industry, and if you don't get sober, then you probably just only want a beer or two a night. You know, the guys that I play with that still drink, it's like, you know, I'd hand them all my drink tickets, and they're like, yeah, I'm not going to use these. And to me, it's like, why wouldn't you? You could. But, you know, it's interesting to be around because clubs, they deal with it. And, you know, they're really respectful of the fact that I'm sober, and promoters and even the audience, you know, they know, a lot of times they know because I'm pretty, you know, I'm pretty upfront about it. And then we tour with musicians that are sober, and it's pretty good. I send our drummer and our bass player out to make all the connections if they got to go party somewhere.
Well, and I would wonder, you know, does there have to be a point at which the story of the band diverges from the story of your past?
I still write songs that don't necessarily, they're not necessarily, the subject matter isn't me, but I think I can find myself in any subject matter. And a lot of the songs that, you know, have kind of hit with people are the ones that are directly, you know, about me. But there's a lot of stuff that, like this, you know, we're going to play a new song today, and that has, it's not about me directly, but I think, you know, you can find yourself in any subject matter.
It must be something to realize that the person to whom you are each married has such a perfect voice for each other. I mean, maybe there's a metaphor in that, and that's what marriage is about.
Yeah, I think somebody, I think when we first, I don't know, I know it was before we were married, somebody came up to us after a show, they're like, you guys are either related somehow or you're in love.
Aw. And Molly didn't want to say. She's like, I don't love him. No, it's pretty cool that when we first sang together, when Molly, just the first time I heard her sing, you know, she came over. And people had told me that she was a great singer, and she came over to record some vocals on a song, and right away I was just blown away. And I remember taking those tracks to a musician to help me mix them down, and he was like, "Who is this girl singing on your record?" And I was like, "I'm not telling you because you'll try and steal her." And from then on, we've been singing together, and yeah, it just seems to work. I think it's nice for me because I can be kind of rough and tumble with my voice, and Molly tends to sound pretty over the top of it. So
do you still cook?
You know, I gave it up for a while, just because it was so wrapped up in a lot of those rough memories. But then I started, you know, we're on tour so much that it's impossible to cook. But when we're home now, you know, I've got 2 days and I can fit it all in, you know. I try to.
He does. It's nice. I tell him how lucky I am that I have a chef that I live with.
Well, we are lucky to have you both here. And before you play us out, let me say thanks to both of you. And really, best of luck with the new album and everything going forward.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And tell me what you're going to play for us.
I'm going to play a song. It's going to come out, hopefully. I think maybe early next year, maybe the end of this year. It's about a bridge in San Diego. My family is kind of from San Diego, and so we go back there, and my mom told me about a bridge that runs in Balboa Park. It's this gorgeous bridge, and it's gorgeous park, but for a while there, they had to put chain link fences up on the side of it because people kept jumping off of it. So I wrote a song kind of about that. You right, we don't even know. Half the night turning into stone. And I hate to call it home.
Husband and wife Johnny Solomon and Molly Moore are about 40% of the group Communist Daughter. Their latest release is called Lions and Lambs. They joined us on a recent swing through Milwaukee. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for your support and for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, your NPR station in Milwaukee. Keep listening. Coming up at 12 noon, it is Here and Now from NPR and WBUR in Boston. But right now, it's 11 o'clock and Fresh Air is next.
And I hate to call you home, 'cause it hurts to be alone. I'm going up to the Balboa Bridge. I want to fly more than I want to live. I'm going off the Santa Monica Pier. I want to get so far from here, somewhere where it's warm. Last July, they hung around like smoke. If I close my eyes, it's all I've ever known. And I hate to call it home, 'cause it hurts. I'm going off to Santa Monica Pier. I wanna get so far.